Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. That was It's Raining Men to start off the last show of this week. This is Off the Chain. I am your host, Stephen Mason. If that song doesn't make you want to get up and dance, you got to be dead. I have learned to try and play songs that meet the criteria of the guest I'm having on any particular night. And when we get in with our guest, you'll see why I played that song. And I did not realize it, but it was also one of her favorite songs. So there you go. Psychic works again. But I wanted to start the show off by saying thank all of you once again. Y'all never cease to amaze me. This show is just growing like, I don't know, a weed. It's taken on its own life form, and it's all because of you, the listener, and my guest. And the thing is that the listener and guest alike, they keep bringing people to me. They keep saying, you know, you need to get on the show. It's a lot of fun. First time, they go, I don't know about this. And before it's all over with, they go, when can I come back? So, yeah, bring my guests back, but then they bring new ones. It's like a snowball rolling downhill, and I'm so very grateful for it. So if you want to be a guest on the show, contact me at offthechainradio@yahoo.com or either catch up with me on Facebook under Yvonne Mason, author. And I'll put you on the show. Of course, booked right now through the middle of June, but I'm still taking slots between then and the end of 2018. So, and people drop out for whatever reason, so I'm always filling slots, so come on. If, however, you are too shy for whatever reason, I don't know why, I mean, couldn't be because we're heard in over 100 countries, and just on the show itself, we're at 83,066 listeners, and when you add all the podcasts, we're at 103,289 listeners. We are heard on Mixcloud, SoundCloud, Podcast.com, Podcast Garden, iTunes, TuneIn, Radio, FM.com, and I even think iHeartRadio now. We're heard everywhere. And so maybe it could be because of all of that. But if you're too shy or don't have time and want to be heard, then go to advertisecast.com, look up Off the Chain Radio. My ads are very reasonable, and I will advertise you for a month. And it doesn't matter how many shows I run in that month, you'll be on that show every time I pull up the show to play. And not only that, but you'll be heard in the archives. You'll also be heard in all the podcasts. So it's not like it's one and done. And I want to thank Cece Chamberlain. CC sent me an ad, and she had never heard of the show before, but she sent me an ad, and when she heard the ad, she told me that she would be doing business with me again because she liked the way that I ran her ad. So, CC, I want to give you a shout-out before I run the ad and say thank you for that. You made my day when you sent me that little note. But CC Chamberlain has a podcast. It's on www.podcast.com/InsideYourLifeWithCC. And Cece has a very unique podcast, and I think this time of the year, there's a lot of people that could benefit from it. Her podcast is full of thought-provoking interviews, which are motivational and inspirational to inspire others and lift up their soul. And her podcast has feel-good stories, the conversations to strengthen the mind, the body, and the soul, with inspiration and motivation far and few between for many. The Inside Your Life with CC podcast is the glimmer of hope in a world that is full of confusion, discouraging times, or just plain tough days. And we all have them. And if you say you don't, you lie. CC's interviews will entertain you, uplift you, and bring the absolute best out of the world. And ladies and gentlemen, there is good in the world. So if you need an uplifting story, or if you know someone that does, go to www.podcast.com, Inside Your Life with CC, and listen to her uplifting and inspirational story. You will not be sorry. Now then, on January the 5th, ladies and gentlemen, which is really right around the corner, put that on your calendar, because on the Investigation Discovery Channel at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, there is a new season starting with Married with Secrets. I will be on that show that night. I will be discussing and narrating Gerard Schiffer, who was married to Secrets. He was Florida's first serial killer, and he killed between 9 and 35 young women between 1966 and 1972. And he was a very evil, evil man. And we will be talking about him and how he managed to deceive so many people for so long. And if you're not familiar with the story, go to Amazon and pick up my book, Silent Scream, which talks about the girls. There were 9 victims that we could identify and put to him as being their killer. The others, we don't know who they were, but there are 9 that we definitely know who they were. So go and pick up that book, and that way you'll be up to speed on January 5th at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on the Investigation Discovery Channel, Married with Secrets. Now that we got all the housekeeping out of the way, tonight's guest, I'm going to tell you, it has been a journey getting this young woman on the show. I met her through another author friend of mine when we did a event with Sherry Rensselaer, had a takeover party on Facebook. And my guest was on there. And so I said, come on the show. And she jumped on it, and Sherry said, you won't be sorry, because Sherry's been on here several times. We'll be again. So trying to get her squeezed in before the end of the month took a little doing, but I was determined to do it because she is so funny and she is so wonderful and she is just, she lights up room, and I'm not even in the same room with her. We're on opposite sides of the coast, but her energy is just, that's why we played the song tonight, because once you meet her through this interview, you'll be wanting to leave the show and go buy her books, but don't you dare, because you'll miss something. Her name is Aileen Hart. And she is a literary romance author, and she lives in the state of Washington, which is an absolutely beautiful state. I lived there for 6 months many years ago. And she's a single parent with 2 children. She is a romantic junkie, a happy ending addict, a cat lover, and a wine lover. So she's the entire package, people. She began her storytelling journey first with dolls, which we'll get into that. Then it progressed to paper. She has a deep love for anything romantic, and she is a believer that in love anything is possible. She writes mostly strong, witty, and intelligent women who love fiercely, and strong, sexy, intelligent men, alpha heroes with a heart of gold. Then she adds on little fantasy, and I will let her tell you what that little fantasy is. Most of her stories involve people with problems bigger than just trying to find love. You know, you have to add a little conflict in there. She likes making peace with the past, rekindling old flames, and healing old wounds. She loves small towns, second chances, cowboys, rock stars, and men in uniform. This is a woman after my own heart, because I love small towns. I don't give people second chances, but that's okay. Cowboys, I adore, and men in uniform, they are my kryptonite. So welcome, Aileen. How are you, my beautiful friend?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Okay, so, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, this girl, she put up on her Facebook page this morning, oh, I'm so sick, I got to go to work for 4 hours in the ice and the snow, and she was sick at her stomach, and she was irritating her food, which, you know, very nice. But I offered to close down the show tonight and reschedule it, and she was having none of it. She said, I'm going to go home, take a nap, I'll feel better. None of it. She's having none of it. She's going to miss
it. I wouldn't miss this for the world.
See, she could be bleeding out from an open artery, and she would still do this show. So let's talk about Miss Aileen for a minute. Okay, what is your history? I know you were not born with a pen in your hand. Maybe a doll, but not a pen in your hand. So, How in the world did you get from telling stories to your dolls? What made you tell stories to your dolls? Were you a lonely child, or did you just have a wonderful imagination and just progress from there?
I have always had a very wild, active imagination. And I'm also kind of a little bit of a loner, so I think that for me, my dolls were kind of an escape. But my Barbies weren't going to proms. They had just elaborate, crazy lives that would, yeah. It's kind of embarrassing, but yes, that's how I got my start in storytelling.
Why would you say it's embarrassing? I think it's fascinating.
Oh, it is, but, you know, I mean, my mom could tell you my whole bedroom would just be an entire world, and, yeah, cleanup time was not fun.
She should have left it in. She should have left your world alone. Why would one want to clean up the world? I mean, really? It was your world. You could live in it. You
right? That's what I thought.
She wasn't buying it. Shame on her.
Oh, so, well, you know, that's what you get with an OCD mom.
Well, that's true.
So,
and I bet you inherited a little bit of that, too.
I did. I am very, I'm kind of a neat freak. Yeah, I organization is exciting to me, which is really, yeah.
I can
spend hours.
That.
Yeah.
I like putting things in alphabetical order.
I'm not that nitpicky. Mine's just more everything in its place.
Well, yeah, I like having things in its place, and to the point that the nail clippers have to go right back in the little jar by the telephone, and if they get put someplace else, I get irritated because I can't find them.
Oh, for sure. No, don't do that to me.
Yeah, if it belongs there, put it back.
Exactly.
When I go get it, I don't want to waste precious time looking for something.
Exactly.
And if I have to waste time looking for it, I'm not going to fool with it. I'm just going to forget about it, and it pops back up eventually. Don't have time to be looking for things. So tell me about Aileen. How old were you when you went from telling stories to your dolls to putting your stories to paper, and what kind of stories were they?
I was probably about 12, and I like to draw, and I would draw out scenes, always romance, always, you know, pop stars and TV stars, and just write out little stories, and I would draw out the images that went along with them. And then for Bear, I kind of progressed into writing a lot of poetry throughout high school, and I actually interject a lot of poetry into my writing now. I'll use little lines and things from poems that I write into my work.
Now, that's an interesting concept. Now,
yeah.
What poetry is, what's your story to get out there?
You totally just broke up there. Can you repeat that?
I said that way your poems and your stories get out there. When you put
your
poems into your stories, that is an interesting concept.
Yeah, I actually had one reviewer who kind of picked up on that and noticed that there was some more poetic lines in some of my books and brought that up in a review, which was really awesome to me that someone noticed that. Yeah.
Interesting. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Now, when you started putting pen to paper,
yes,
were you encouraged by others, or was it sort of like you were on your own?
You know, I got my start in some storytelling forums on the internet back in, it's been a long time. And I would post stories in chunks. And through these people, I really learned a lot about how to put together a story and what my strengths were. And it was because of being in these storytelling forums that I really felt encouraged to kind of put my words out into a more public, into a public way. Yeah. Okay.
Not only do you write and you got sort of in these forms, but you are also a mom, work full time, and have two children, correct?
Yes, I do.
Now, for someone who's out there listening and going, okay, she writes, she's a school mom, she works, how the hell does she do this?
I have a strict schedule.
Exactly. So, and not only that, but one of your children is one of the most gifted, unique children you were blessed with. Mm-hmm. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll call this young man unique and gifted because even though he's been labeled as autistic, he's brilliant. And y'all know how I feel about labels. Part of your new normal. So how, adhering to a strict schedule, I can't talk tonight. But how
neither
you
can
manage,
I.
Oh, we're a pair. How do you
we're
manage to get all of that done and still not lose your, who you are?
That is an excellent question. You know, first of all, I think that children who are autistic, okay, see, you jinxed me. I can't speak now. Children who are autistic, I'm just going to keep doing it, they really like schedules. So I've learned this with him since the time he was two. We don't change. We eat dinner at the same time. I mean, so that really works for him, and that's really trained me to be a very scheduled person. I have a set schedule at work while he's at school, and when he gets home, he really just kind of likes to do his own thing. And so when I get home from work, you know, I cook dinner, we take baths, and then from 7 to 9, everybody kind of has their own private or quiet time, and from 7 to 9 is when I get in my writing. And I write
fast. Well, yeah, you would have to. That two-hour window is a little tough there. But what you do is you don't vary from it. And the point I'm trying to make is anyone that is an artist, whether it's a musician, whether it's a painter or a writer, you have to have that form of discipline in order to not get burnt out.
Yeah.
And in order not to go, okay, well, maybe I'll write today, maybe I won't. And pretty soon it's not maybe I'll write today, maybe I won't. Pretty soon it's, well, what the hell? Why am I bothering?
Exactly. I'm a firm believer in you write every single day. Even if the words you're writing aren't necessarily pretty or something you'd want anybody to see, you have to sit down and get those words out. It's how you get better at what you do, and it's how you – it's a lot of it's self-expression, and it's – for me, it's kind of how I unwind and relax.
That is true, because you can get lost in the words and in the characters, and if you're like
right.
me, the characters are all the time in your ear, and they won't shut up until you put
never.
Their words to paper.
They never shut up.
and you're at work, and all of a sudden you're having this conversation with yourself. You have to be careful that nobody hears you else are going to cart you out with the jacket and the meat wagon and the padded cell and...
It is absolutely true. I talk to myself all the time, and people always say, what? And I'm like, oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm just talking to myself. Yeah.
Well, now, as long as you are not having a debate with yourself and you lose the debate, you must always win the debate. Or you're in trouble. So what in the world made you decide that you are a romance junkie? Did you read a lot of romance? Who were your favorite authors that you read, and did that inspire you to write romance, or was it talking to the dolls and you lived in this wonderful world that your mother made you clean up?
You know, here's the most bonkers thing ever. I don't read romance. I read Stephen King and Chuck Palahniuk and authors like that. And it's only just very recently I started reading romance because I needed to know the patterns and the flow. I think for me it's more I like romantic movies and I liked the romantic TV shows. And I learned that in my storytelling forms, I actually started out writing a lot of paranormal, but I was really good at the romance, and I was really good at developing characters and manipulating my readers' emotions. And so it just felt natural to me to have my first novels be romance novels. But I do plan to kind of break off very soon.
And you're going back to paranormal?
Probably paranormal, and I really like very gritty, urban kind of stories, more just literary type things. Yeah.
I can't believe you read Stephen King and write romance. It's an enigma.
I'm the romance author who doesn't read romance until very recently. My Kindle is bursting at the seams with all these books that I've been reading and discovering how to hone my craft. Because I love writing it. It's just, it's fun.
Well, you could write romance with a twist.
I could.
Stephen King.
Yes, this is true.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, being evil. Because when you said Stephen King, the only thing that I ever read by Stephen King that I really loved was Pet Sematary. And then they destroyed it when they made the movie out of it.
Oh, gosh. I think they've destroyed everything of his that they turn into movies. I always get so excited, and they were just, oh, yeah, they just didn't do his books justice. Maybe The Stand, when they put that on TV. That was okay.
But still, I mean, The Stand was 3,000 pages long.
This is true. Yeah.
Start reading it one century and finish it in the next. but you could write a Stephen Kingish romance, twisty kind of Pet Sematary.
Start my own brand of romance. Yes.
Yes, you could. Something to explore.
Something to explore when we get off this call.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's why we call it Off the Chain, because you never know what we're going to do when we get on this thing. Now, people I know are going to say, but Alien, you're a single parent. You have two children. One of them is labeled. It's totally impossible for you to do what you do, even with a strict schedule. How would you answer somebody? And you know, you, before the show started, you and I talked about when people find out that your son is unique, they go, "Oh, I'm sorry." Don't you just want to smack them for stupidity?
Oh, I really do, and I'm a really nice person. But inside, I'm smacking them. No, yeah, that makes me crazy. He really is the coolest kid, and he's so smart, and he just opens my mind to unique ways of viewing things and thinking about things. But if someone said it's impossible that you could do all these things because of your situation, I'd say you're crazy. I mean, there's ways to do anything you want, and I think that if you're passionate about something, then you make it happen. And maybe I'm not going to be one of those authors who can, you know, pop out a book every 2 months. That's just not going to be possible for me. My plan for 2018, I have a business model that I've written up, and my goal is to put out 3 books, maybe 4 if I'm lucky, and that's just what's going to work for me for right now.
Thought while we're sitting here talking, which is dangerous for anybody who's talking to me at this time of night, because would it not be grand? And again, before the show, ladies and gentlemen, Aileen and I were talking because I have several authors who have children who are unique, and I think they're the most beautiful children in the world. I want to get into their mind because they are so brilliant, they're so creative, they're so artistic, and if we just listen, we can learn things. And before I say what I was going to say, if you haven't heard the show I did with Brittany Quagon, she is, she's a psychointuitive, she's an empath, and she has hooked up with Yale University and writing a project for a very unique study, and that is that adults and children who have been labeled as autistic and schizophrenic, they want to see if they're really empaths and psychointuitives, but they have not yet learned how to put up that wall and to channel that so that when they do hear the voices or they do have these things going on inside of them, that it's not, they're not autistic. It's they haven't learned how to put up the walls to keep that energy out, protect themselves. So they do other things, you know, they bang their head on the wall or they scream or they dance or put their hands over their ears. And if they can learn to teach those individuals how to put up those walls, it would open up their minds so that the brilliance and the gifts that they had and the uniqueness and the craft they had would come out. And can you imagine?
That's really interesting, actually.
It is. She and I talked about that on the last show she was on, and she said that this study, she is writing up the entire program, and then they're going to start with people that have been labeled schizophrenic because they're the ones mm-hmm. that hear the voices, and
right.
and work with them first to see if they are indeed empaths and psychic intuitives. Because as an empath, we pick up everybody else's energy in the room.
Right.
Whether we want to or not. As psychic intuitives, we feel things that are going to happen before it happens. We don't always know what's going to happen, but we know something is going to happen. And it took me a long time to understand it about myself. It took her a long time because they thought she was crazy. They had her on all these psychotropic drugs. And that wasn't at all. She's a psychic intuitive and an empath. So can you imagine all these brilliant minds being able to be opened up for the future?
Right. No, I'm going to have to look that up. I find that really intriguing. And that is a whole other subject we can talk about another time about him. But, yeah, no, I find that really interesting.
Pay attention to him when you're with him and watch his mannerisms and see if it's not picking up other people's energy.
Well, I have always, and he was seeing a psychiatrist for quite a while, but he sees, and he uh-huh. has since before he could even speak, and he saw people that there was no way that he knew who they were. And so I've always known this about him, and one of his psychiatrists wanted to label him as schizophrenic. And I said, you don't understand. He's seen people that there's no way. He didn't know these people. And so I stopped taking him to that one because I was like, there's no way you're labeling him as that when I know my child and I know what he's seeing. So I find this really fascinating, actually.
I rest my case, Your Honor.
Yeah, that is really intriguing.
Encourage him to hone this craft because it is a very special thing that he has. He's very gifted.
Mm-hmm.
And if he allows you to hug him, give him a big hug from me and say, way to go.
I will.
Now, my next thought is, in one of your books, you should integrate a unique child as the child of one of your strong-willed women.
I really should. That is actually a fantastic idea.
See, I'm telling you, this is what
See,
happened.
I know. You're giving me more work to do is what you're doing.
Of course.
You try to test my time limits.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's get outside of the box here. But think about it, especially with what you just told me. And not only would it be a wonderful storyline, but
I think it's amazing.
The lessons. Yeah, so many lessons you teach people.
Okay, I'm doing it. I actually have a story planned for two out from what I'm writing about a single mother, and I think that this is going to happen, and I'm going to put credit to your name in the book.
Oh, bless you. You don't have to do that. Because I'm seeing the storyline dancing around in my head, and it would take your alpha male character would be a perfect fit because it would take someone that's as strong as the woman to be able to be accepting.
Yes.
Of this child.
I agree. I think we're on to something here. I think this is gold. No, for real,
absolutely.
This is happening. I'm writing it down right now.
Wow. See? This is why we call it off the chain, Aileen, because you never know what's going to happen.
I'm seeing this.
See?
And I'm still giggling at the song.
Yeah, I saw that visual, too. It was kind of frightening.
For real, I had a grin on my face the entire time. It was just perfect.
Well, it fit you. For some reason, I had, like I told you before, I had Blurred Lines by Alan Thicke, and I thought, by Robin Thicke, and I'm thinking, no, it's got to be It's Raining Men. She will just love it. I know she will. So
I did. Yeah, it gave me a giggle. Thank you.
You are quite welcome. So, see, we're going to finish out this week on a positive note.
So, yes.
Now that we've gotten all the fun out of Aileen and all the things that we know how she ticks now, let's talk about your books. Why do you do Strong Women? Why Strong Women?
You know, that is really important to me. So when I started writing romance novels, and this is not a diss to any other romance authors, because to each their own, but I found so many of the female characters were just weak and wimpy, and I was just so annoyed by some of the female characters that I made a really strong, resolute decision to always have strong women in my book, because I don't think that you should ever be weak to a man, and a man should never be weak to a woman. Everything should be equal, and that's really important to me, that my woman can do anything without the man in her life, but having him with her lightens up her life and enlightens her and makes her happier.
And just because a woman is strong doesn't make her over the top.
Right, right.
It makes her independent, but yet it makes her enjoy the company of the man that is in her life.
Exactly. And she may not always know that she's as strong as she is, but that's about the personal growth throughout the novel, too. Because in my first novel, the character Amy does not realize how strong she is until the very end.
And they're witty, too. And I know why they're witty, because you're witty.
Thank you.
You are very witty. Your alpha heroes. Now, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who have been living under a rock and does not understand what an alpha male is, it means he is the leader of the pack. He is the strongest one. He is the one that makes the decision. He's the one that's out in front of the pack when they're traveling, because he's the protector. He walks points, so to speak, for those of you who understand the military. He's always in front. He's not lead. So not only are Aileen's heroes, the guys in her story, these strong-willed alpha men that A-type personalities, they can cook?
They can cook, every single one of them. It's just my thing. It started, I did it in a couple of books, and I thought, you know, my gosh, all these guys they can cook, and they can cook these amazing meals, and I thought, maybe it'll just be my signature thing, that every male in my book can whip up a great dinner for his woman. It just sort of happened accidentally, and then I realized it was a thing.
So now y'all know, when you read one of her books, the guys are not only the leader of the pack, they can cook. And they just don't cook bacon and eggs. They probably cook 7-course meals that are French named in.
Well, Lord, one of them only cooks eggs and French toast, but he does it with style.
Oh, well, we can make it with style, I mean. And I like the rekindling old flames, healing old wounds, mm-hmm. making peace with the past. And in our everyday life, those dynamics are one of the things that help us grow, is when we can make peace with the past, because obviously we cannot revisit it. And healing old wounds, because we can't forgive if we don't heal the one old flames. I don't do. Some people might, because it's like trying to start coal embers in a fireplace. Just talk about because it doesn't work. But you teach lessons with your stories.
Yes. Well, and second chance romances are a very popular trope in romance, and it actually happens to be one of my favorites, where two people who maybe didn't split apart for terrible reasons, but they split apart and they can come back together, regain a friendship, and rekindle that romance. It's a favorite of mine.
Well, I have to tell you a story, a real quick story. My husband and I, back in 1974, knew that we were in love. Mm-hmm. And I went back to Atlanta, and he came back to Florida. We were at my grandfather's funeral, and I did not talk to him again until 2006. And when I was at my mother's, she was trying to email him, and she couldn't get the email to go through. So I fixed it and sent it. I said, "How about a blast from the past? This is Yvonne." And he immediately went back and said, "Now that I finally found you, I'm not letting you go."
That is so romantic. I love that. See, that's kind of a second chance.
And then he said, "I've loved you all your life." And I said, "Well, didn't you tell me that in 74? He said, "Well, because you were stuck up off in North Georgia, so you should have come got me."
You gave me shivers. I love that.
Feel free to write the story. And it makes it even better, Aileen, is we're second cousins, so we have known each other all of our lives.
Wow.
So
that's a cool story.
When people say, "Oh, so you have stepchildren?" No, I have 6 children, because my blood runs in their veins. So they are my children, even though I didn't mm-hmm. give birth to them. They are my and I will hurt you over my children.
Heck yes.
In a heartbeat. So yeah, it's free to use that in a storyline. But yeah, that was second chance, but it wasn't like you say, it was two ships in the night, and then it came back together. But who would have thunk it?
Yeah, that is a great story.
Yeah. So, small towns. Why do you like small towns?
Oh, I am a small town girl at heart. I was raised in a small town, Yakima, Washington. You've probably never heard of it. But it's a very small agricultural town. And as I was older, I was 19, and I thought, I want to get out of here. I want to go live in the city. You know, I thought that was going to be what it was for me. And I moved away at 19, went off to San Diego. Then I went to Tucson, and I quickly figured out that big city was not for me. And I like small towns because there's so many quirky people. And, you know, the guy at the corner store has known you since you were 5 years old. And there's so much you can work with. It's just so much fun.
And you know that those people will always have your back.
Always, yes. And I like, you know, in my second chances, and everybody's talking about them. You know, are they together? Aren't they together? I mean, there's just so many fun, crazy things you can do with it.
So do your stories place in small towns?
Yes, they do.
Ah.
Small towns in Washington. I guess it's another thing.
Well, yeah. I lived in Tacoma for 6 months. I love Tacoma.
I've never been to Tacoma.
Really? Well, it's a military town.
Oh, okay.
It has an army. Oh, it did. Now, I don't know if they closed it or not, but in the 70s, there was an army base there. And my first husband was stationed there. It was his last 6 months before he got out. And it was a very beautiful town. Rained all the time, but it was a beautiful town. The people were nice. I would go back and visit, but I don't know that I would go and live because I can't stand the rain all the time.
I live on the side of the state where there's not a lot of rain.
Oh.
Yeah, it's actually akin to a desert.
Really?
Really. I know, isn't it? Yeah, it really is. It doesn't have the same rainfall as the other side of the mountains, and so we get the nice, long, sunny days. We get a great summer, but then we get, the full fall and winter change of seasons. It's wonderful.
I might have to visit that side of Washington.
You might have to. Yes.
All right, get the books, the books, and a little bit about them, because if we don't, we're going out of time, and I don't want to run out of time.
Okay.
Start with Space Between.
That is a book that I'm writing right now, The Space Between Us, and that will be due out in 2018, and it is a opposites attract romance with a young woman who was raised on an apple orchard, and the young man is from the other side of the tracks. He's a boxer, and when they come together, their passions ignite. There's a lot of little twists and turns. I can't give away everything, but I'm really excited about this story. Very excited about this story.
No, y'all cannot go now, but she has more books she hadn't even told you about, so just sit tight. Okay, Forever Glitter.
Okay, you have been deep diving on me.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm writing this summer. So the books that I have out right now are The Island and Rocking Autumn. So that's what's available to people right now.
Okay.
You've been diving too deep.
I told you I deep dive. Give the folks a little taste of Forever Glitter, because I'm going to bring you back. And then they will be, sitting here with bated breath. So it's just a couple of hours after Glitter.
So Glitter is going to be a story in a saga. And there's Glitter, Shimmer, and Shine. And it's actually, I'm taking a story that I wrote in one of the story forums. It was one of my most popular, about a couple named Matt and Miley, who get discovered as models and get thrown into the modeling world and discover the kind of dark, ugly side of it. It's going to span over 3 books. But I haven't fleshed that one out completely yet, so I can't tell you too much about it. I'm pretty excited because it had a really big following on my blog. So
see, ladies and gentlemen, when I bring her back, yeah, we're going to have even more fun. Okay. Now the two she has out, Rocking Autumn. We'll talk about that one first. What is that one about?
So Rocking Autumn, and it was one of those stories, I was writing another book, and these characters just kept talking to me and would not shut up. So I wrote their blurb and set them aside, and they wouldn't stop talking to me, so I had to sit down and write them. So Jax and Autumn were high school sweethearts. They'd been together from the age of 14, and something happened when they were 18, and it drove them apart instead of bringing them together. And Jax took off to Chicago to pursue his music career, and Autumn went on to run her family's bookstore and bakery. And 10 years later, Jax decides he can't live another day without Autumn, and he returns to the town of Walla Walla, Washington to win her heart back. But, yes, but then they discover that his winning her back, which she does not make easy, winning her back was not the biggest obstacle in them rekindling their relationship. And so it's really kind of a journey about them discovering, getting over these obstacles, one of which is it's a long-distance relationship. So for a lot of the book, they are actually not together, although they are still dating.
Interesting. So
yes,
that would be highly recommended for people that have a long-distance relationship.
Yes, yes.
See, there's life's lessons, people.
Right.
Life's lessons. Now, The Island. The Island book cover is amazing.
Thank you. I made that. I actually make my own book covers.
Well, you do it. She does a great job. No, y'all can't go now. You got to wait because she's going to tell us about The Island. So tell me about the these people. They,
so
they
that was something. One that started as a dream, and the island is about a relationship between one woman and two men. And it started on a dream, and it wasn't a dirty dream, and I tell this to people all the time. The dream started with this woman waking up in a tent, and there was two men beside her. And in my mind, I knew that they were together. And she gets out of the tent, and she goes and joins a group of other people at a picnic table for breakfast, and they're all joking around. And I just couldn't kick this thought. First of all, why was she in this tent with two guys? And who were all these other people? And I couldn't let it go, and I kept telling myself, okay, dream about it again. Find out what was happening. I mean, it just ate away at me. And the thing about this novel, the one thing I like to tell people about this is that I focus very heavily on the relationship. And there is heavy doses of steam, don't get me wrong. I am a steamy romance writer. But I focus in a lot on the relationship and the trust between these three people. And I wrote The Island 5 years ago, but did not publish it until this year. I wrote it during a really difficult time in my life. My father was dying from cancer, and I lived 1,700 miles away. And it was a way for me to really channel a lot of emotional energy onto paper. And I think that's why this story came out so emotionally charged, is because I transferred all of that onto paper.
That would be an interesting book to read. No, y'all will just have to wait because you don't know where to go get it, and I'm not going to tell you yet because you have a couple of minutes left, so you'll just have
to
wait.
That's how I met Terry Wilson, is she read my book, and then we became friends, yeah.
She's a sweetheart. Her and Sherry Rentzler, absolutely adore Sherry. They are so, so funny.
I feel very blessed to have met both of them.
And seeing because of them, now you're on my show.
Exactly. And that's how, yeah.
That's how this all works, ladies and gentlemen. It's a network that we have. And because we do not feel we are in competition with each other, because we're not.
No, absolutely not.
Our books are unique to us. We can openly, honestly, and with love and unselfishness support each other and watch each other succeed, because by helping you succeed only makes me succeed, and I absolutely have so much fun with it. I wouldn't care if I didn't ever write another book in my life, because I just have so much fun on this show watching everybody else succeed. So, but yeah, doing Sherry's takeover was a lot of fun, and that's how I met Aileen.
Oh, it was a blast.
Was a blast. We have to do that again. Maybe when I release the new book I'm working on, we'll do a takeover, and you can come take over.
I would love to.
That would be so much fun. Now, because we are getting to the end of our hour, can you believe it?
No. It flew by.
It does. It does. I told you the hour flies by and you go, what happened? But before I get you to tell the folks where you can be found, would you come back?
Absolutely. In a heartbeat.
Okay. Of course, you're going to bring people to me because that's what happens. You get so excited.
Absolutely.
You tell other people and then they want to come too. So, all right. So when do you think, would June, July, maybe one of the other books will be out and we can launch it?
You tell me when, and I will be there with bells on. How about we work it that way?
Okay.
You tell me, and I'll just be there.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking maybe end of June, 1st of July. That way you should be either willing to finish in one and ready to launch one.
Perfect.
Okay. You heard it first,
perfect,
you lady. And you will get a following on this show, believe it or not. You will get people will tune in to listen to what you're up to next, just because that's what happens. So yeah, you'll get your own following here. So with that being said, tell the folks where you can be found, so when we get done with the show, they can go get The Island and Rocking Autumn.
Well, right now all of my books are exclusive to Amazon, and they're all free in Kindle Unlimited, which is this really cool thing. If you've never used it before, you can pay $9.99 a month, and you can read as many books as you want. You can have, I believe, 9 or 10 out at a time. So that's a really great way to get to know my books. I have The Island on sale for 99 cents through the beginning of the new year, and I have Rocking Autumn on sale for $1.99 until the beginning of the new year.
So, ladies and you can't beat that with a stick. You're either going to read it free on Kindle Unlimited or get it for
right.
99 cents or $1.99 unless you want the paper. Yeah, and everything to gain. And you'll help Aileen get out there, too. And be sure and leave her a review. Reviews are important. And when you put
they
the review
so
on Amazon, hook up with her on Facebook under Aileen Hart and send her a copy of the review. That is so important. So every night when I close the show, there's several things that I say. But before I say those things, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, sweetheart, for coming on the show, even though you weren't feeling well. I am so humbled that somebody got because it tells me this show is worthwhile and that the show has something to offer my guests. So thank you so much, and I can't wait for you to come back because we just had so much fun. The hour just went by so fast.
I told you I was chatty.
But that's okay. You're supposed to be. You're the guest. It's all about you. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know every night at the end of the show that I offer these little nuggets, and I'm hoping that they're at least affecting one person, because if it changes one person's life, then it has been worth it. And the first thing I say is, don't just feel special, be special, because if you just feel special, you will never, ever be special, because feelings are fleeting. They come, they go. So be special. Every day you wake up, you say, I am special. Don't say, I feel special. If you want to achieve greatness, would you please stop asking permission, because there's not a soul out there that will give it to you. Because 99% of the population does not believe that they are worthwhile anyway. They all have these wasted dreams, and at the end of their life, they do the shoulda, woulda, and they're going to take the rest of the world with them if they can. So if you want to achieve greatness, just stop asking permission. Just go out and do it. The difference between who you are today and who you want to be tomorrow is what you do today. So if you want to change who you are, then you have to change what you do. You will never change who you are. Think about that. Your smile is your logo, and your personality is your business card. And how you leave others feeling after having had an experience with you, ladies and gentlemen, that does become your trademark. People will forget your name. They will forget what you wear. They will even forget what you look like. But they will never, ever, ever forget the way you made them feel. And if you don't believe me, go out there and try it. Because if everyone's on a journey, and we don't know what that journey is because we're not in that shoes, but you may save someone's life just by being kind. And if we're kind to one person a day, even if it's a family member, ladies and gentlemen, yes, we have to be kind to our families, even those we're mad at. Be kind. Say something nice. Smile at them. Smile at the cashier at the grocery store. Speak to your mail carrier. Speak to the people that pick up your garbage, because you have no idea how that makes them feel. So with all of that being said, this is our last show before tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We will run Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. And we want you all to join us. And again, thank you, Aileen. It has been a pleasure. I have had the most fun. And I cannot wait to bring you back to see where you are with the stories that you have dancing around in your head, especially the one we talked about you doing.
Adding
the young man to the story will give it a wonderful kick. So
I'm actually really excited.
Me too. So with that, I say this is Yvonne Mason with Off the Chain, and we say good night. All right, my dear, we are now off the air. Like I said, send you the show's tonight's show. I'll put it up as soon as it goes to Cabinda Archives. And then tomorrow I will send you the links to those 5 podcasts. And I want you to take those, and I want you to run with them like you stole them.
I will. Thank you so much. I had so much fun.
I did too. And thank you, darling, for coming on and being patient with me and working all this out. It's a pleasure. And hug that baby for me.
Oh, you know I will.
He is amazing. Telling some crazy lady that he talked to on the radio.
I will definitely. He's my snuggle guy, so he'll be in.
Well, tell him that I said whatever dreams he has, make them real.
Okay.
Because he's got a good mama.
Thank you.
All right, my
now
darling,
you can take care of your husband and call your mom.
I will call her tomorrow.
Okay.
See, you remembered. I'm impressed.
I have one of those memories.
Yes, you do. Never forget. All right, my darling, I'll get this
right
up and send it to you, and Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Merry Christmas.
I will send you some dates, and we'll get you back on the show.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, baby. Good night.
Bye-bye.